Hello, my name is Teresa Leibfried. My birth date is November 9th, 1958.
Teresa, welcome to the project Life During the Pandemic in Kentucky. As I explained to you, this is an oral history project to accumulate an archive of personal experience of Kentuckians, and then to store that archive at the University of Louisville, and some of them at the Oral History Commission in Frankfort, so that future historians can look into these personal experience records when they're starting to try to assess this period that is the pandemic. My first question to you, Teresa, is who were you and what was your life like prior to your realization of the gravity of the COVID virus?
Well, I was an ecologist with the National Park Service for over 25 years. And I guess I was stationed at Mammoth Cave, Kentucky for most of that time. I did spend some time in Atlanta, Georgia with the regional office, so I knew a lot of folks down there as well, which was important during the pandemic when we started getting a lot of information rollout. But we were active in our both office setting. We have 10 people at work, and in our field setting, we had 14 national park units across the Southeast that we served. So we were very active, doing field work, air quality monitoring, water quality. We did ozone foliar injury assessments to plants, selected plants. We look at cave bats and cave biota. In the caves of the, there was like three or four parks that we did that at. So we had a extensive program involved in the inventory monitoring of natural resources.
Mm-hmm. So you realize the gravity of the COVID virus. What happens to your work life? What happens to your personal life?
Well, first of all, at work, we immediately all went to telework setting. So even though we were a small group, everyone started, packing up their office laptops and monitors and went home. Folks that had kids at home, they were given 20 hours a pay period off to help them deal with sudden, the kids being out of school and they're having to try to work as well. So that was very generous, I thought, and really helped them out. We had to cancel all of our field work last year, pretty much.
Wow.
Except for the local field work at Mammoth Cave. We were able to do a few projects there, but we were not able to travel to any of our water quality monitoring sites. And the same with our forest vegetation monitoring. All that was canceled.
I know you did some counting of horses before in the summer. I guess that was in the coastal area on the East Coast.
Yes.
Was that canceled
Island, too? National Seashore. They actually had that accomplished in early March.
Oh, good.
So right before the restrictions came down. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I did not go this year, but.
Right. Yeah. And I assume the park closed its doors pretty well to visitors, yes?
Yes, especially at first, several parks closed completely. They closed down their trail systems, their visitor centers. But Mammoth Cave remained open as far as their trails go. They closed the visitor center and the camp area and all that, but you could still come out and hike a trail, which was very helpful to people that, were trying to get out and stay healthy. But some parks had to close down completely.
Yeah. Did you experience any layoffs there, Teresa? Furloughs?
We had not in my office. We didn't. There were a lot of interns that were working and cooperators that had to pretty much shut down their operation.
Yeah.
So they, may not be technically a furlough, but they were, they were having to rearrange all of their plans for working with the Park Service.
Mm-hmm.
If it involved, a government employee, So, yeah, so it's going to be interesting this year, because now that we had all the backlog from last year, a lot of our inventory monitoring projects are now trying to pick up all the slack from last year plus this year's workload. So
that's kind of a good time to be retired.
Exactly.
Kathy, I'm interviewing somebody right now. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
So it helped me get used to being at home personally.
That's an adjustment.
It was an adjustment. And of course, I get to spend more time with the animals. So that was one positive outcome. And I also have a wood stove, so I'm able to keep that burning, keep that going. So
a lot more wood, I guess, now that you're
here. Yeah, I'm really running through the wood now. But so I retired at the end of the year, end of 2020. And I pretty much was already used to being at home. And so that made a smoother transition for retirement.
Well, upon your retirement, now that you're kind of looking back, when you look back over the last 4 years or so, what's kind of happened to the park system? Have there been any changes or challenges?
Even this year, I mean, with bringing on new park units, such as the Medgar Evans unit down in Mississippi, for example, usually there's a big contingent of folks that would go and celebrate the opening of a new park. So none of that was able to happen this year. We also had Mill Springs Battlefield, a Civil War site in Kentucky. Same thing, the grand opening was all virtual. We weren't able to get together as we normally would. But the natural resources of the parks have been actually doing a little better. The air quality, the ozone over the last 10 years, that's actually gotten better. Of course, now we're worried about, if you decrease regulations, that could reverse course and we could, potentially backtrack on some of our air quality measures. Mm-hmm. So that's of concern, but.
Those two seats being one in Georgia may help some of that go back to being in place, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh yes. Got hopeful now that we won't be bringing on a lot of new coal-fired power plants and things like that might really damage the air quality. So, I think the animals enjoyed having a break from a lot of the activity in the parks. Humans were not traveling through or hiking as much. So there was a lot of more wildlife activity, according to some of the anecdotes I heard, through the email.
Yeah, so, I've heard a lot about that too, in terms of even like smog amounts in cities and those sorts of things, since people are not in their cars constantly, that things have improved, even in places that really suffer, like in China and India.
Yes. Yeah. The fuel emissions really helped when those went down. But now I think it's ramping back up. People are really wanting to get out to the national parks. So some parks experienced even an increase now in their numbers the last several months, in the fall and where people were starting to really get out. And, I think I heard RVs and campers were the market really went nuts. People buying those. So,
Well, it's a shame that animals have to suffer for people's mental health.
But I guess, a lot of people use nature to cope with stress. So it's been very helpful for, people to get out on the trails. I hiked at Mammoth Cave several times, and there were families with children, and they seemed to really be enjoying getting out. So I know that's true of myself as well.
I know you had an illness at the end of the year, and we don't need to talk about any detail about that. You can keep that private if you like, but can you describe your experiences being a patient at that time with the social distancing? Was that a challenge?
I had several appointments that involved, you know, just basic stuff like all the temperature checks and, you know, getting into the facility, but then like limiting numbers on elevators. So you maybe think you're right on time, and then you have to wait until 20 people, four at a time, get on the elevator. And so, you know, as far as the waiting rooms went, several of those were packed with people, and most of those were did a pretty good job of trying to space people out, but you're still in a closed room, a small area with, you know, lots of people. So, but for the most part, I didn't really experience any major problems with the pandemic as far as what I went through.
Yeah. Well, that's good, because even just get on an elevator, you know, I think you're in a good elevator, and then like five people jump on the way up. There's not a lot you can do about it. Say,
yeah,
worry and hold your breath.
That's true. And then, of course, they added the COVID test to anyone having a surgical procedure. You know, you had to have a result, I think, within 3 days of your appointment. Yes. Mm-hmm. So that added on of the step for, you know, everybody that was doing that. So I drove down to Tennessee to have my test done, so it would be local to where the hospital was. Oh, yeah. I didn't want to have to fool around with getting my own paperwork.
Did you get a little nervous driving it to Tennessee just because of COVID, right?
Yes, definitely.
It's but unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
Sad that they're trying to impeach Governor Andy.
Yeah, I really appreciate what Kentucky has done, and, you know, the national parks, they paid attention to what the governors were doing in each state, you know, so there was different sets of rules depending on where you were. So the Park Service did a great job of getting out the information. We I think we received a COVID update twice a week all throughout, mm-hmm. And it had all kinds of links to the national situation, and it was, they did a great job.
Was there any worry about, with your animals at the park, like bats especially, about COVID transfer?
Yes.
I know actually, our snow leopard in the zoo here has COVID.
Mm-hmm. They were more, I think, more afraid that we were going to give it to them, to the bats, to pick up a virus like that. So, yes, there was a moratorium on bat work for several months. And I don't know if that's still in place or not. Some of our summer bat counts, we don't really go into the cave. We just count the bats as they fly out. Mm-hmm. But it would affect the winter bat counts are when the ecologists go into the cave and they count the bats. So that was, there was a moratorium on doing that last year.
Yeah. Wow. Mm.
So that was of concern.
For your own little farm and all the things you have to do, has the social distancing affected that? Like when you want to work with a neighbor or something?
I've got one neighbor that, we trade out. As a matter of fact, I just went up to let his cats out. He goes to Somerset frequently, so we kind of trade out. He feeds when I'm gone, and I feed when he's gone. Mm-hmm. And it really hasn't affected that. I mean, we kept our distance from each other during, you know, times where, you know, we had to either hand off the mail or whatever.
Right.
And early on, you know, he was wanting me to use gloves and everything to get his mail out of the box. And but I had plenty of gloves, so I, you know, that wasn't a problem. Yeah. And yeah, so.
Well, it's good to know somebody's really on the safe side. That's kind of a reassuring thing.
Yeah.
If he's too safe, that's not a problem for you. No. Teresa, do you think the pandemic has been politicized?
I think it seems like just about everything has been politicized this past year. And yes, I do think whether you, the way you felt about wearing a mask, or I just heard lots of negative comments about, you know, the governor of Kentucky, you know, because they felt like he was trying to, you know, just go way too far. And so I do think it did get politicized, unfortunately, but I don't know what to say about it. It's what it is.
Well, you can see it right now in what happened in Washington last week to some extent. Not that it's caused by the pandemic, but I think it certainly is exacerbated by it. Everybody's out of work and, you know, evictions, and you got more time to be mad.
Definitely. Yes. A lot of people are under stress, huge stress. I mean, the food pantries around here, you know, just lines of people trying to get food.
Well, even the kids being at home. I mean, you know, it's just not normal. I support it, and I'm working with my grandkids, but it's still a great stress on people in terms of their work, and it just turns it occupying the kids with even beyond school.
Yes, I went into the local hardware store just recently, and I noticed on the door there's no sign to say wear a mask. I thought, I knew going in that this is going to be one of those that didn't, you know, support that. And there was a little girl behind the counter. She was doing her homework, I think, while I was in there with my mask on. And she said, oh, you don't have to wear a mask in here. I was like, oh, I don't. I was like, well, I've already got mine on. I think I'll just keep it on. You know,
very diplomatic.
Yeah. Oh, she liked it, too, because I had horses on my mask. So, but, yeah, you could tell that, you know, certain businesses just did not want anything to do with.
And it's so sad, you got to pick a side, and one side can, it'll kill you. I mean, you know, in terms of, you have to pick a mask or not to wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad that labeling thing is there, and I think being pushed essentially by Trump himself in terms of, you know, just never having respect really for the masking.
Yes.
So how do you think the government has done in response to COVID? Let's start at the Warren County Bowling Green level and then move to the Governor Andy and the state level and then talk a little bit about the national level.
Okay. The local level, because we are under the, you know, governor's orders, I've seen very good response for the most part, other than just what I mentioned. You know, the store here and there I've gone into that completely balked any kind of restrictions. But, you know, I think the what I've seen, like going into Kroger, which is probably the busiest environment that I go into now, most of the folks now have been very good about wearing masks. And I think
are they letting people click and get their groceries brought out?
Yes, they're doing the you know, curbside pickups.
Yeah.
And that's helped a lot of people, especially the ones that have kids in the car.
Yeah.
The libraries were closed for a long time. It was curbside only. Then they opened for a while, and then they shut back down. Right now, I think they're back open. So that's, you know, a place that I go occasionally to pick up books, and but they seem to be doing the right thing, you know, mm-hmm. watching the numbers.
You feel like testing and that sort of thing is pretty well available to whoever needs it?
Yes, I've had one COVID test in Kentucky, and then I had several in Tennessee, and all the ones, I never had to wait over an hour to get a test done. Mm-hmm. And some of the results, if you have a portal, you know, are very quick. Some of them I got the next day.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, I didn't really experience any problems with waiting in line. I talked to people on the phone that were stuck in lines, you know, waiting for their test. One lady was in Chattanooga, and she said, I'm not going to make the meeting. I'm stuck in line, you know. And so it just depends on where you were, I guess.
Yeah. Has your homeless population increased? Have you noticed anything like that?
They back when all this started, I was helping a homeless person, actually. So I know how tough it was. The Room at the End program shut down within a week. Oh. At the worst time, you know, it was still cold outside, very cold.
Yeah.
And that's a program, you know, where the churches open up for overnight stays
yes.
for the homeless, and they shift locations, and it's sort of done by a lottery. And so the fellow I was helping, you know, you had to draw numbers. And, you know, if your number came out at the top, you could get a bed that night. If it didn't, you know, you were heading down the alley. And so when that closed down, I don't know what happened to the bulk of the people. I helped my friend get, you know, a hotel room for a couple weeks until we could find an apartment for him. But we went down to Salvation Army. They weren't allowing any more people in unless they had kids. So he was single male, and that was a problem for getting in.
Yeah.
So it was tough. It was a tough time.
Yeah.
Still is, likely.
I know in my campus, which is downtown in Louisville, I mean, it's just, from what I've seen in pictures, some of the faculty have taken a sip of me, the homeless are in every nook and cranny. If there's an air grate, if there's little, like, covered entryway, in the morning, there's, like, four or five sleeping bodies there. One faculty member, our campus is not that large. He said probably about 100 people are sleeping outside here.
Oh, my gosh. Well, and then, yeah, and the libraries was the place a lot of the homeless would go during the day. Well, that shut down, too. So that was a place where they could go and get warm during the day. And, you know, it was really a double whammy for them. And yeah. I really felt bad.
So, well, it's very difficult, too. I mean, even if you want to help somebody standing on the street corner, I mean, can you open the window of your car and lean out? Or, you know, it's, people are so fearful. So, mm-hmm. you know, things that you might normally do, you're afraid to do them right now.
That's true. That's a good point. Because there, I've seen a lot more in Bowling Green on the street corners, you know, just what little I go through town, you know, it does seem pretty more frequent on different mm-hmm. street corners.
Yeah.
So, you know, riding the bus, even, you know, that was a big fear people had. So the friend that I'm helping, you know, didn't have any transportation, but was scared to death to get on the bus because he has COPD so bad, you know, if he were to catch the virus, he said, I'm a dead man, you know.
That's probably right, really. So you talked a little bit positively about Governor Beshear. How do you feel about his approach to the COVID virus?
I think the man's doing all he can do to help protect the citizens, and I think he's done a great job.
States, we're looking good on the map.
Yeah, exactly. Y'all, you just look at the numbers.
Yeah.
And I thought he did a great job with communications, you know, doing the briefings that he did. And yeah, I just really thought it was a great job.
He's got a lot of blowback, and now there's this impeachment, you know, considering.
Oh, I know. Yes. Crazy.
What about the national level?
Well, like I said earlier, the National Park Service level did a great job. But, I mean, when you start looking beyond that, like up
well, most of the science White part House of level. Most of the science yeah. part of government perform like the CDC, you know, don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and I really liked Dr. Fauci, and you know, he's well trusted and respected, and you know, but I thought, you know, we had some bad examples with the White House, you know, not following the protocols, and you know, it just seems sad that the people working there had to be exposed. You know, you probably, you know, would face some sort of penalty if you put on a mask. I mean, it's almost
sure there will be blowback for you. Well, they even talked about the events of January 6th being a huge spreader event between the invaders, the insurrectionists, and then the people in the Congress all huddled together, some without mask.
Yes, I won't surprise me if it is. So
it was very hard to watch, wasn't it?
Oh, gosh, it was awful. I was gone all day and turned the TV on when I got home. I'm like, I didn't know what country I was watching.
Oh, yeah.
For a minute. It was horrible, horrible to see. So I'm just hoping we can get through the next few days I'm worried about the inauguration and what.
Tell you the truth, I wish they'd cancel that and just swear them in the Rose Garden or something.
Just a low-key ceremony. I do too, because
there's precedent for that of the president. So
is there?
Yeah, I think Roosevelt in the war. There's been a number of times they've done it in a very, sort of a private ceremony sort of thing.
Yeah,
and I think of course those much better. The scaffolding that they had up helped the insurrectionists the other
day. That was part of it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think that would be a wise thing to call it down. So
let's talk a little bit. First of all, do you think anything good, or has anything good come to you as a result of the pandemic?
Well, staying home more, I think, like I said earlier, the being with my pets more, getting to observe the wildlife on the farm. I saw a fox yesterday about 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And the deer, I'm watching the habits now of how the deer cross the road out front and make me a nervous wreck when they come out in a group of like seven deer trying to cross the road.
Oh my gosh.
It's been interesting just to see things that normally I would be at work and I wouldn't have been aware of. I think there's some positives like that. I mean, I'm cooking more than I ever have.
Yeah.
So, but you combine cooking more and exercising less, that's not
a good combination.
Good combo. I look forward to, for yoga to open back up and.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some good online ones though that I'm doing, cause.
There?
Yeah. Yeah. Yoga with
eight. Yeah. I've been doing some chair yoga, in yoga in the mornings.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty good things for the chair, actually.
I was surprised.
And also, I guess with just like the school system and everything, you realize that you got, when you had virtual work like you had before you retired, you get more tools in your toolkit. You know what I'm saying? That there, you figure out things that, wow, I'm going to hold this over to when it's normal times,
Yeah.
It's like Mirage is bemoaning the loss of snow days now because you're never going to have another snow day. So you switched to virtual.
That's true. I mean, now that telework has really taken off, I mean, it's going to be harder because we used to have snow days as well when they would close the park.
Yeah.
And if you're able to work at home,
you're on the clock.
Yeah, you're on the clock. Which is probably good. I mean, it's good for people to be able to have that flexibility.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Like I say, there are all kinds of good things, although kids are not going to think loss of snow days as well. All right, let's talk a little bit about the racial unrest. Do you think the racial unrest, I know it wasn't caused, I know it was stuff that was due to happen, and it's not responsible for George Floyd or Breonna's death, but is the uprising and the intensity, is that in any way related to the virus, do you think?
I think from the respect of more people are out of work and under stress, that it has added to the level of desperation out there. And so I just think that does brew more conflict with racial unrest and the whole thing. Just people are really acting out from, the lack of other things to do in some way. I mean, it's just.
Well, if you're looking at eviction or you don't know where your next meal for your family is coming from, that does ramp up the stress level.
Yes, definitely.
Did you all have much of that in Bowling Green?
No, not that I am aware of. As far as racial unrest, mm-hmm. No, I have not really heard much.
Were there demonstrations by Black Lives Matter, for example?
Yeah, they had a few. They had a few demonstrations downtown in the square, but nothing that broke out into any kind of violence.
Mm-hmm.
So,
we had quite a bit of demonstrations. Actually, most of them. They were quite large because of the Breonna Taylor thing, but they got a lot of, I thought, really heavy-handed publicity where they were like making everybody tarred with the same brush, when really it was the people that came out after midnight that were doing the damage, and a lot of them were not related to any group that was, you know, demonstrating peacefully. And yes, a lot of downtown was boarded up, but it was really just to protect windows rather than because of broken windows. So, but it got a lot of publicity. Even Maracha's mother called and said, "Are you safe, son?"
Oh, really? Wow.
And the turkey, well, you know, sometimes it made us look like turkeys. Especially last week.
Yeah, really. Oh, man.
All right, 50 to 100 years from now, when historians and other people are trying to analyze this period, perhaps use this archive, what do you think their assessment of our response to the pandemic will be? You could talk about the whole worldwide thing, too, if you want to.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, looking back, they're going to wonder why some things could not have been done better, more quickly. Just, for example, right out of the gate, we should have been wearing masks. And, you know, we came out without clear guidance on that and fumbled around for a long time. So I think there were definitely some simple things overlooked early on. And then the whole supply chain of how it works with our healthcare system, our ventilator supplies, you know, whatever that, you know, that needs a much better plan to be, you know, for organization. And even now with the vaccine rollout, I think that needs some scrutiny. It just seems it's a free for all in some cases on what's going on.
Right.
So I think looking back, that would be something said that could have been better organized and planned for.
And of course, you know, things may improve in this coming up year with the vaccine, the new administration. So we may come back and interview again and just see, you know, we have a better time this next year. We got to hope for that, certainly. You live by yourself, as do I. And it sounds like you're finding ways to really be healthy living alone, because we're both used to it. So how have you been able to sort of accomplish the social distancing, staying at home? What's made it something that, and what would you recommend to others? I mean, some of the things that I've heard people talk about is just the lack of physical touch. No handshakes, no hugs, no pats on the back, those sorts of things that just, it's really hard for some people.
Yes, I really feel most for those who have, you know, loved ones in nursing homes and hospitals, because, you know, you hear those stories that it's a time when, you know, even if you're not a touchy-feely person, that's a time where you would be really important to hold someone's hand. And it's just, you know, they're not able to allow that right now. And that's, it's a major impact. So I haven't really luckily had to be in that boat right now. I do have some friends that have been in the hospital that I cannot see, but it's, you know, it's not been too bad for me. I'm just hoping for better times when, you know, we can get back to normal and not be so distanced. You know, it's, you know, even in the grocery, you see a lot of sort of looks if, you know, somebody gets too close to somebody else, and, you know, there's a tension out there that wasn't there before.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I felt the pain. I had an elevator ride last week where it started out with just me and it ended up with like four other people.
Exactly. Yeah, I had one lady shooing people out of the elevator. She was like, she was not letting people in. It was at four only. You know, she was banning.
Get that door closed, door closed. Yeah. Well, Teresa, tell me a little bit about what you think the new normal will be. Perhaps after we've got the vaccine and we've got some herd immunity going, do you think things will ever go back to the way they were before? For example, will you be as quick to shake somebody's hand that you don't know?
That's a good question. I'd say there's going to be a lot more hesitation on physical contact for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, in the prior to this past year, you know, if I saw someone with a mask on in a store, I would have thought, gosh, I mean, what's their problem? You know, like, are they, you know, just going nuts about germs? And so now that's all changed, where I think we're going to see people wearing masks a lot more frequently and not shaking hands and that kind of thing. I think it'll be, the new normal is going to include more teleworking. You know, it seems like the companies that figured out how to make it work, you know, they're suddenly going to see, well, maybe we don't need all this office space.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, that'll change as well.
Yeah.
So
is there anything else you'd like to talk about? Because that's the end of my questions.
Oh, not really. I appreciate the chance to have this interview with you, and I finally got my computer set up, so.
Well, that's great, and I really enjoyed the session, and thank you for being a part of the project, and really, you brought a really different point of view from the National Park perspective is important, I think. So I'll be sending you a release here in the next week for you to sign. There may be one for you, the Oral History Commission, too.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, well, have a good day. I'm glad I got to see you.
Yeah, good to see you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.